Good morning, everyone, this morning. Well, it's good to be here. Greetings to Springfield. Hopefully everything's coming through okay there. It is a very beautiful day today, as it was during the week. We've had a lot of nice days. I have to confess, and this wouldn't come across very humbly when I say this, but I am now an expert in building tree houses up in Indiana. But I'm not an expert down here because I'm less than 100 miles away from home. So that's an expert is someone who's 100 miles away from home. So I'm definitely an expert up in Indiana. We had a lot of fun. We were up seeing Sean and Beth and the girls, and one of the projects for Heather, I've done one for each one of the girls now, but Heather's was one we were working on, and it was to build a tree house. So we have half of a tree house. It has a platform. They're happy. The house comes next time. So we'll see how that works out. So I need your prayers. Definitely need your prayers. So it has been an exciting week, and hopefully you've had a very good week as well. I don't know if you've ever, walked through Walmart or walked through a store and someone, has one of these ear things, phones on their ear, and they go talking, and they're talking to the fruit, they're talking to the vegetables, and you walk by and you answer them. sort of an awkward way, you say, oh, I'm sorry. Of course, they never hear that because they're on the phone, they're, keyed in on that. But, as we look around, you see in cars, cell phones are really everywhere, aren't they? They're just everywhere, and how do we ever survive without them? But one day a store owner heard a young boy talking on his cell phone while he was in the store. And the conversation went like this. He was hearing only one side of it, the store owner, but the boy said, "Hello, sir," on the phone. He says, "I was calling to see if you needed a boy to mow and care for your lawn." A little bit later he said, "Oh, you have someone." He waited. "Well, is he doing a good job?" He waited. "Oh, he is." And he said, "Thank you. I was just checking," said the young boy. And then, so here's the store owner. He heard all of this, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't get the job, son." He said, "Oh, no. I got the job. I'm just checking and calling up and see how I'm doing." So, young kids say, whether this was true or just a story, sometimes, hey, it's an interesting idea to say, hey, how am I doing? Are you looking for someone? I know as a window cleaner, you always wondered when that guy came in and offered a lower price, what would happen? And so, in a way, it was sort of a self-checking up. Okay, I've still got the job, and someone's already checked, so, it doesn't hurt to sometimes check things out. But self-examination is not always the easiest thing to do, is it? I know it's easy to put aside, it's to ignore, because, hey, if I don't look at myself, everything's just fine, right? And so it is difficult to do for us. Examining ourselves should be done throughout the year, of course, but especially as we approach the Passover on that season, a time to reflect on ourselves. There's a proverb in the business world that says, a man who takes no inventories finally becomes bankrupt. And that's true. If you don't inventory things, and keep track of what's going on out there. I know in the purchasing co-op, if it wasn't the thing that cycled out all through the year and all of a sudden came to a conclusion at the end of the year, it would be hard to take inventory and to know exactly where you stood. So a company must take inventory to know where they stand. Did I make a profit? Have I got way too much inventory out there or whatever? So it is something that is very important. It's in the business world, but more important for us in the spiritual world, in our growth, in our jobs, in our career as a Christian. But as we realize, 4 weeks from tomorrow night, 4 weeks from tomorrow night, Sunday evening, we're going to be keeping the Passover. It's just right around the corner when you realize 4 weeks. I looked up at the moon last night that peeked through the clouds and looked pretty full, so it's getting close as well. But we will begin the cycle of God's holy day plans again. We will begin the cycle. The plan that begins with de-leavening our lives or our properties, symbolizing removing sin from our lives. And that starts it all. We're starting just before Passover here, and that's what we start to do. That's the beginning portion of it. Last Sabbath, Mr. Graham gave us an overview of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, of course, the spring holy days. But this morning I want to cover one of the things he mentioned last Sabbath. To add to it, he says, let's look at our self-examination we're supposed to be doing as we approach the Passover. You know, that's what we're going to look at today, our examination of ourselves. Not our neighbor, you know, not someone else, but our self-examination. The title of the sermon, Examining Ourselves. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians to look at our foundation, first of all. I got a bigger Bible. It's supposed to have bigger words. But you start, it says, large print. You think, oh, large print. And you open up. That doesn't look too large. Now you have to look at giant print. And I don't know what comes after that. I'll find out, I guess, in a few years. So excuse my larger Bible here. But let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Let's read several verses here. Starting in verse 1. And some of these things we have to look at ourselves. We start this self-examination process, and this sort of introduces us to that. And some things we can maybe gather here that we can look at ourselves in as well. It said in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Paul says, I fed you with the milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envies, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And, you know, I have to look at my own self. You know, as we start looking to individuals, do we say, oh, I'm of this group, I'm of this group, I'm of this group? What is God? How does God look at that? You know, that's carnal. We don't look to that, and it continues on. He says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers to whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So sometimes we forget that. God's the one that's in the picture. And as we look at, remember that during this Passover time, you know, it's something we all need to reflect on. That it isn't individuals that speak, they're just instruments. We're instruments in God's hands. And as we yield to God, we're able to give that information out. So as we look at that, it's something we can reflect on as well as we go a little bit further. In verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And this is the foundation that we're building on, Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, it will receive a reward. So, you know, as we look at this scripture, you know, our works are what we do, and what we build on that foundation that Jesus Christ has given us, it's going to be tested. And matter of fact, it's tested daily, isn't it, sometimes? And so it's something we need to consider, that it is going to be tested. And it's going to be important that we build on the foundation in the coming, in our lifetime. Because if it's built of the less expensive things, the less important things, straw, hay, it's going to burn in a fire. And let's continue on. It says in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So here we start out with the foundation. The foundation is God's Word, God, Jesus Christ, and that's what we build on. That's our foundation of what everything comes out of. I know building this treehouse, you had to get a strong foundation, and that was the poles in the ground. You had to go below the frost line. That was took us a lot of time to build this thing, just because we need a firm foundation. And that's true in our Christian lives. We need a solid foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. His teachings, His Word, God's way of life. And that's why it's so important we start there as we start examining ourselves. So it is important. We are to build upon the foundation, and of course, as we mentioned, the foundation is the truth that Jesus Christ has given each one of us. You know, baptisms, our minds were opened, we started to receive truths, and as we accepted those truths, God continued to help us grow and to build upon that. But when we rejected something, it became less important. Guess what? God had to get us through that point. And so it's a process of building. We something doesn't right in the treehouse, we screwed it in. So if we made a mistake, we could unscrew it. We didn't have to take all those nails out and ruin the whole thing. So sometimes we make mistakes, and we have to unscrew things and correct it, because we've got to get in harmony with the foundation. We've got to build on top of that foundation of God's Word. So to keep that in mind, you know, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11 now. 1 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 17. Here we find the Apostle Paul continuing to address another problem in the church at Corinth. Verse 17. Now in giving this instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worst. And so I could, you know, as you look at that, another way of putting it is just regarding this next item, Paul said, I'm not at all pleased. I'm getting the picture that when you meet together, it brings out the worst side of you. Your meetings sometimes are more harmful than good. Isn't that what Paul was saying here? And continuing on in verse 18, says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. And so, you know, in this process of divisions, it makes us all come out and look at things a little bit differently. You have to make a stand on, am I standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ? That's the key. And so as we look at this, we have to remember that most important part. Continuing on. So therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So here, you know, as we read on here later on, you know, when it says to partake of the Passover in a worthy manner, this is what Paul was addressing here. They were abusing the Passover. They were not coming before and partaking of the Passover in the proper way. And Paul continues on here in verse 23. Says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so it became the wrong emphasis for the church in Corinth. They were not looking at what the real purpose of Passover was. They were more involved in the eating and the drinking and getting drunk. They didn't have their minds on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if we're not careful, we also could fall into this same problem. And we have to look at ourselves to find out, am I falling into that same problem? Verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So here we see the emphasis, you could say a command, that we need to look at ourselves. We need to, in verse 28, let a man examine himself. Look at yourself. The Corinthian church, he's saying, look at yourself. Look at what you're doing. Look at, you're not keeping the Passover properly. You know, you're not instituting the things that I passed on to you from Jesus Christ, who gave it to us. And so, as we look at that, you know, Passover is a very, very sober and very, it's exciting, but yet is a very sobering experience, because Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he went through all the agony and suffering on the cross. And I guess during the Passover, as we approach it and as I keep it, it's very sobering, it's a very serious thing. I want, when you can perform the Passover and do the reading and everything, I'm really, you don't want to do something wrong. It's very critical that you're correct, because you don't want to leave something out. Like one time we heard a tape from Mr. Armstrong, and he was in his latter days, and he had trouble seeing, and he almost forgot to do something. And Mr. Dean was there and said, oh, you know, you should do this. Oh, yes, you know. And so, you know, we want to do it exactly right, because Jesus Christ commands us to do certain things. Do we forget the foot washing? No. He instituted that. Do we forget to take of the wine, the bread, and what it symbolizes? And so as we approach the Passover, we need to really study in to know, when we sat down here for the Passover, we've examined everything about what should happen that day, that evening, and what it means, and how sobering it is, and how fortunate we are to have someone who has given his life, and in a way, a Son of God that would remove our sins. Not killing a lamb, which did not do that. It was only symbolism. But it is a very sobering, a very, very important part of every Christian's life. But it talks about divisions and factions have tested us, you know, tested them. You know, and as we look at our lives and, you know, in the church, since Mr. Armstrong's died, how many divisions and factions have we been tested with? You know, and it is a test. How do we stand up? What choices have we made? Because it's going to test you in order to know where you are, what you believe. And are you looking to Jesus Christ and God the Father, or are we looking to men, to people? So it's a time of testing, and we've all gone through that, and it's going to continue to be that way. There always will be tests. I had a teacher one time that didn't believe in giving tests. I was in the seventh grade, and oh, that was great. We didn't have tests. Oh, boy, this is great. And so, but I had no way of checking to see how I was doing. You know, I could do it, you know, whatever I wanted, and it didn't make any difference. And so we just got graded. I don't know how she determined the grades. I guess if we were in class, that was what was important. We just got a good grade. But then the next year, eighth grade came along, and we went from a country school, little one-room schoolhouse, to the HARP school, which is small to most schools. But hey, it was 20-some, 30-some kids in the class, and whoa, what do you mean, tests? But didn't you listen to so-and-so? We don't have to have tests anymore right now. But guess what? Because of those tests, that helped me understand where I was, how I was getting along in the different subjects, whether it was math or reading or whatever. But it found out it was very important to have tests. And so God looks at us and lets us realize that it's important that we are tested continually to know where we are, what we've built on this foundation, where do we stand. And so it's very important that we remember that. When it talks about examining ourselves in verse 28, exam is, in the Greek, is D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-A. I'm not even going to pronounce it. to test to see if one is worthy. To test to see if one is worthy. You know, to look at our lives. Where were we last year at this time? You know, what have we done? What mistakes have we done? What things have we done correctly? Have we grown? Are we building and becoming more like Jesus Christ? You know, from year to year, do we take time and look at that? You know, do we ask God to help us to not only remove the sin, the mistakes that we've made, but also to remove the guilt? Sometimes guilt can eat us up because God forgives us, but do we forgive ourselves? Do we let God accept that fact that God does forgive us? For God forgives sins and also forgives our guilt if we would just accept that. We don't only ask for forgiveness on the Passover, but we should look back over the year. We'll examine. That's just not just to say, okay, the Passover is the forgiveness of our sins. Okay, but it's to look back also over the year to ask God to help us look at ourselves to see how we're doing. You know, why do we examine ourselves? Because God tells us to. He commands us to. He tells us to. Verse 31, it says, but if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So, you know, there we go. If we judge ourselves and take time to analyze ourselves, it says God doesn't have a need to judge us because we're doing it. Oh, God, I'm like King David. I have sinned. I've come before God in a humble way. If you have that approach, you're judging yourself. So God doesn't have to bring it to your attention. Doesn't mean that we won't pay the penalties, but God, it's just what's in your heart. It's how you hurt. It's how God knows what's written in your heart, like he did King David. So if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come, Paul concludes there. So, you know, it's an important part of us as we approach the Passover in order to realize that this self-examination is an important part of our lives, our Christian lives. And it will help us avoid God having to correct us in a way that will, you know, have to slap us around in a way. You think, just like your kids, wake up. You've got to do, you don't touch the stove. You don't do that. So God wants us to examine ourselves in a way that, so he can work with us and help us progress. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 13 now. 2 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. Here in verse 1, Paul was being opposed by some in Corinth, so he was responding to this. It says, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretold as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward us. And then verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So again, verse 5, it says, examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. Have we slipped in the past year? Examine ourselves. There's a humorous story. A man went to the doctor in an acute state of anxiety. The doctor, he said, "You've got to help me. I'm dying," he said. "Every time I touch something, it hurts. I touch my head and it hurts. I touch my legs and it hurts. I touch my stomach and it hurts. I touch my chest and it hurts. You have to help me, Doc. Everything hurts." The doctor gave him a complete examination. He says, "I have good news and bad news for you," he said. "The good news is you're not going to die. You're not dying. The bad news is you have a broken finger." So you think, oh, okay. So you got to know what's wrong. I guess what really is a problem. And sometimes, you know, we need help in those areas. Sometimes we don't see, well, we know what a broken finger was. We know that would be the problem. But in a Christian lives, do we really sometimes see why we hurt and why things are a problem? Let's turn over to Psalms. King David constantly reminds us of this is because he went through this. Psalms 139. One of the many places that David sought God's help and God's guidance. Starting in verse 23, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Trust me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So, if you understand David's heart, you understood it came from his heart. He really wanted God to search him because he knew he's fallen down in the past, as we do, and he asked for that guidance and that correction that leads to eternal life, to lasting life. And so, you know, as we keep that in mind, we need God's help as well. We need God's help, asking God to help us in this self-examination process. It's something that, you know, we shouldn't be taking lightly. We're supposed to examine ourselves. You know, Mr. Graham mentioned that last week in the Sabbath. Yeah, we're supposed to examine ourselves. But to what degree do we look at that? Do we really feel from our hearts, as King David, that David did here, that, you know, we ask God to help us to search our hearts, to help us to see where we fall short? Because we all fall short. We all stumble. We all need God's help to recognize those problems. So, you know, so where do we start? Where do we go to? What do? We go to God. That's the first thing we need to do in this self-examination process. We follow David's example. Ask God for help from your heart. Ask God to really show you and want you to see where you're going wrong, where I'm going wrong, to help me as well. So then, let's turn over to James. James 1. It's where James gives some advice on our self-examination. James 1, starting in verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so, you know, as we look in a mirror, you know, can we have the courage to look in the spiritual mirror to see what's going on in there, to see where we're doing things right? You know, as we look at this mirror, which is called the perfect law of liberty, do we continue? Are we following God's word? Are we living up to it in a spiritual way and living it in our physical lives? So then let's turn now back to the Galatians 6. You know, as I started to look at what are we to be examining, what am I to be examining in my life as we approach the Passover, you know, Galatians was one of those places that came to mind. But let's start with Galatians 6, starting at verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load." So what stands out here in verse 4 is, let each one examine his own work. You know, what is the work you're building? You know, we have the foundation of Jesus Christ, first of all, and that's what we're building on. But we're building something. Each one of us is building something. Are we building on that foundation? Are we over here building on something else? Where do we start? You know, as we start this examining process of how we're doing, you know, how's this treehouse coming? You know, we kept looking and, oh, is this right? Is this right? We kept examining it with the foundation all the way up. And as I started doing that, you know, do we do that spiritually? Do we really understand what we're supposed to be examining? You know, I'm a good guy. I treat this person right. You know, and, you know, you sort of like, we went to a funeral this Friday. The guy that 41 years old passed away and just from a stroke. And he hauled from me for several years, and, you know, you saw his young family, you saw all this tragedy that was going on. But in this process, they have the pictures up there on the wall, the big TV screens in the church that constantly review. In a way, it showed his history. He went from a baby, and we went this, he was a Steelers fan, he was a Kiss fan, you know, and you saw his life put before us, all of it. You know, not the words, just the pictures. And showing, you know, as you saw it, you realize there's a certain characteristic. Even though the minister didn't preach him to heaven, he probably felt the guy was, because he didn't attend church, he probably got married in the church and that was about it. But he had a characteristic the minister probably really didn't catch. As you saw it, he had a love for his children. He cared. He followed through on things. When he promised someone to do something hauling, he would do everything possible he would when tragedies came up, problems, that to do it. He had a quality in him that he had built. You saw it. He had built this on a foundation, even though he didn't know what he was building on at this time. In the future, he will. But there's a quality there that's going to be useful in the future, something he won't have to rebuild. He had it. And probably most people just saw, oh, he was a disc jockey at one time before he got in the trucking business and all this, and he went to these Kiss things and he had all this. But, you know, there was a quality there that he built that will last through a fire. And, you know, I guess as I look at my life, when you look at your lives, what are you building that's going to endure through a fire? The fiery trials, the tests. And that's what, as we prepare for Passover, what are those works that we're to be looking at to see how we're doing? Are we building something on the foundation, or is it just a little here, a little there, just getting by and saying, oh, we're a Christian, God's going to carry me through, or will he? And so, you know, as we look at Galatians here, you know, what do we do? What are the works we're to be examining at this time? And what come to mind is what was talked about here. Going back just one chapter, let's go back to chapter 5. It talks about works. Let's start in verse 16. Things to think about as we, you know, scriptures that you can study, you know, as we prepare for the Passover, and just to start looking at how these fruits, good or bad, or we're building in our lives. Verse 16, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." So there's a war going on. "And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law or under its penalty." Now the works of the flesh are evident. So these are works that we don't want. But so these are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So if we build those type of works, then what does it say? It says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are things that we need to look at. Do we have any of those qualities in our life? If we do, we've got to remove them, or you're not going to be a part of God's family, God's kingdom, because God cannot allow that to be a part of his kingdom, or it will be self-destruct. Then we go on to verse 22, but the fruits of the Spirit, okay, the works, the fruits of the Spirit is love. You know, as we look at each one of these, you could just, you know, make a sermon out of each one. There's love, there's joy, there's peace. These are works that we have. Is it long-suffering? The works of kindness, goodness. This is what I saw in this young man that died, a certain kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, you know, as I was looking at, you know, what things do I need to look at in my life, and hopefully you see in your lives that, you know, these are the works that we're to be building on this foundation, because that is the foundation. That is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. All these are the foundation, and the foundation blends into the rest. It has to all connect. And so if we're falling short in any of these areas, we're not building on the foundation. And the rains and the floods will come and wash that part away. And the fire will come and burn that portion up because it's not strong. It's not, it doesn't match up with what you're building on. So, you know, as we take time to look at and prepare for the Passover, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, I felt I need to be doing, is looking at this in Galatians to see what I'm doing. What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Correct what's wrong. Make it right. Because there's a battle. Satan's constantly throwing something at us to make us do the works of the flesh. And so we want to avoid that, we don't let that creep in as well. You know, fire will test us. The fire, fiery darts of Satan, you know, call it whatever, but we will be tested. But if we start examining ourselves first and try to get that stuff corrected, guess what? God doesn't have to come down and say, okay, you're wrong here. No, I know that. What do I do to change? How do I change? And you go to God for help, to help search these things out. So what are we using here to build with? Are we using the fruits of the Spirit? Or are we building with these? Are we building with God's Word, God's way of life? One of the things I was thinking about along this line, you know, every Sabbath we come to services. And, you know, when we were first baptized, our lives really totally changed. We made a commitment when we were baptized. And we said, we will follow you, God. We will do what you've asked us to do. We repented. And then we agreed to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We agreed, this is the way I want to live. From now on, I want to live this way. Baptize me. It's symbolizing a death and a new man's coming up. I want to do what you've asked us to do. And I want to be a part of your family, if you permit me to be. And so this starts us down a road toward eternal life, doesn't it? It starts us. You know, we've been called, so we've accepted that calling. When we're in, we've now been baptized. We're moving on. You know, we choose at that point a different major. And if you're going to college, you choose your majors. We were in some other engineer, something other kind of a major. But now, when we're baptized, we're now have chosen a different major in our lives, in our because we're in school, whether we realize it or not. We're in school, and I thought, you know, we're learning how to become spirit beings, and you got to have schooling for that. And so we have the textbook, and you have to sign up. You know, what is it? What do they call the first course since college? What is it, usually 101 something? You know, 101 living in the Bible, 101 living God's way. Who's our teacher? Jesus Christ is our teacher. Now, there's student teachers out there that are conveying this all the time. I'm not saying I'm that quality, but, you know, Mr. Grant, most of the pastors are the student teachers. They're teaching us, helping, but they're teaching from God's Word. Jesus Christ is the teacher. The assistants come in and guide and do it for Him. And so, you know, if we look at it that way, we have the classroom. Every Sabbath, we come here, don't we? Isn't that the lecture portion? Every Sabbath we receive lecture, just like you would at a college. And guess what? You should be at lecture time. If you're not at lecture time, guess what? You're not going to be prepared for the test. You're not going to, because they cover things in the lectures that you may not cover it when you're reading and studying. You know, sometimes we don't take Sabbath seriously because we're in school. We're trying to learn how to be like Jesus Christ. And so classroom is really important. It's really important. Then there's the other 6 days. That's one day. Then the other 6 days, what's that? It's lab. It's taking what you've learned in lecture, going home, and practicing it. Isn't that what the other 6 days teaches? And then what do? We review during the day. Yeah, what have I studied? You know, what am I going to do this? So you're studying. Part of that schooling process. But we're all on our own. No one's making us come to class. No one's making us study. No one's making us pray and have that contact with Jesus Christ. Is there? There's no one there making us. It's our choice. It's a choice. Didn't we make that at baptism? Or did we just have to make half a choice? You know, I have to ask myself that. I have to examine myself. You know, so hopefully you can as well. But, you know, you look at that. Isn't that what's happening? And we don't really realize that we're in college preparing to be a part of God's kingdom, a job that God's preparing for us. And if we don't understand God's word, we're not going to be able to pass the test. And that's sort of scary in a way for all of us, because we're going to be tested. You know, daily we're being tested. You know, just like in school, you're going to be tested every day. You know, some days, you know, you go to school, oh no, oh, we got another test. Okay, but what that test for? It's to see what's written in your heart, what you remember, you know, how to solve the problem in geometry. You know, did you study it? Do you know, is it written in your heart? Do you know how to love your neighbor, you know, in our Christian life? Do you know how to be gentle? Do you know how to be kind? You know, are you practicing it? Are we practicing it? You know, this is the examination that we take every day, we look at. But, you know, as we pass, you can pass all the tests, you can do all the routines, but, you know, what really counts is after graduation, isn't it? You graduate, you've been given all this information, and, you know, if you're not written in your heart, guess what? You really, when you go before the you know, lawyers, you know, you have to take the big finals test. If it's not written there, guess what? You flunk the test. So it isn't just, oh, I come to Sabbath services every week. I studied every day. I prayed every day. I put into practice all. Guess what? Unless it's written in your heart, like it was David's heart, you know, a man after God's heart. Guess what? You still fail. So. That's why it's important that we take time to examine ourselves and make sure we try to continue write this in our hearts, make it not just a routine that we do, because, you know, I'll be studying the Bible, oh, yeah, it's just a routine. I know I need to do it, and I do it. What did I learn today? I don't know. You know, we've all probably been in that situation. You just go through the routine. Well, that's not going to help you pass the test. The test is, are you writing it in your heart? Am I writing it in my heart? Is it a part of me? Is when I see someone and you know, you see someone sin, you see someone in the world that does something wrong, do you condemn them right away? Or is it, you know, what can I do, you know, to not judge the person? It's not the person you hate, it's the sin you hate. You look at it as, that is what I have to avoid in my life. Not the boy, look how bad he is or she is, and condemn them. No, it's, this is not going to exist in the world tomorrow. And so it can't be a part of our lives, in anyone's life that's going to be a part of God's family. So, you know, it's hard to sometimes realize that we have to continually be building on this foundation that Jesus Christ has given us. We've been given a setting, you know, a schooling process, an attitude of, you know, what are you going to do in your life? What are you going to do? Are you going to choose God's way of life, or are you going to say, no, it's not worth it. I'm going to drop out of school. It's not really worth it. And then you just all of a sudden just say, I give up. That's what Satan wants us to do. You know, and sometimes at Passover, you know, say, hey, are you worthy to take the Passover? No, none of us worthy. But we must take it. We must take it because it's required. It's the only way our sins will be forgiven is through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And we acknowledge that every Passover through the partaking of the bread and the wine. And so, you know, as we look at this process, you know, self-examination is a very important part of our lives. It's testing ourselves, testing us so that we know that, yes, we are on course. Whoops, we're a little bit off here, but let's get back on. I didn't treat that person really the way I should have. Correct it. And so we're continually going to be tested in those areas. So as we approach the Passover season, let's be sure to make time to examine ourselves. You know, I have to examine myself. I have to look at this myself and say, what am I going to do? Am I going to go back to Galatians and say, okay, now how am I doing in these areas? And then go back to Corinthians 13, where it shows about the love chapter, how it breaks it down and helps us. So, you know, it is something we must do, especially as we approach the Passover. And as King David said, ask God for help, to help us see ourselves the way we really are, to be able to deal with that, not be discouraged and not let guilt eat us up, but to realize God forgives us our sins. That's a blessing. God forgives us. So why carry the guilt? He's forgiven us. I'm going to do better. As King David, he set us a perfect example in that. When he sinned and did wrong, he corrected it. He asked God for forgiveness and help and guidance. And that's what we have to learn to do as well, to help us to see our sin and to be able to help us remove it. We must always be able to take time as we approach the Passover to examine ourselves, to help us understand God's way of life, and to realize that we're being schooled right now into that process. And it's testing is going to always be a part of that process. So we must never take for granted the importance of examining ourselves as we approach the Passover.